Before Joshua went on his great commission, Brother Terry, the Lord told him over and over and over again, do not be afraid. Do not fear, because I'm with you. I believe that's our commission today. Don't be afraid. I'd be afraid if I didn't believe what I believe. Wouldn't you? Somebody say praise the Lord. Why don't you give Jesus a big hand clap of praise if you love him this morning. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Was church good last night or what? Did you enjoy the word of the Lord? Well, welcome to camp meeting 2013. October the 20th, 19 and 13. No, this is 2013, ain't it? This ain't 1913. But we're so glad to be in the house of God today. Turn around, shake somebody's hand. Greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in church today. Play it some more, guys, if you will. God bless you, buddy. Love you, man. God bless you, buddy. Love you, buddy. Appreciate you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Buddy, to the camp. Bless you, buddy. Appreciate you. God bless you. Good to see you. Amen. I'm going to let you be seated this morning while we look at our prayer request. I talked to my brother this morning, and I think May Blevins is going to get to come home from the hospital today. So just continue to remember her in prayer, if you would. The doctor said they thought it initially was a heart attack. Now they're not really sure what happened, but just pray that the Lord would be with May and Bob at this time. Sister Irene Pierce says, we would like to thank all of you for the cards and prayers that you've prayed for Brother Mike. He's still unable to see yet, but we know a God that is more than able to give sight back. Thank you, and may God bless. So we want to pray for Brother Mike Pierce, that the Lord would just touch our brother and restore his vision to him. An urgent, unspoken prayer request for my son and grandson. My husband has a sinus infection, and I have a sore throat. Sister Brenda Jones sends that in, so let's remember those requests this morning. Sister Judy Key says to please pray for my family in Manny, Louisiana. Several have serious health issues, so let's remember those folks as we pray. Brother David Green in Mesa, Arizona, healing for his eyes. Brother Fred Green sends that in. Let's remember that request this morning. Then a brother Stephen Cothran from Brother Jason Watkins Assembly in South Carolina has been airlifted to the burn center in Augusta, Georgia. Apparently a diesel engine blew up and his face and chest are severely burned. So we want to remember that prayer request this morning, that the Lord would be mindful of that situation. Brother King sends in a prayer request for Sister King. Her feet are very painful this morning, suffering a lot of pain. So let's remember her as we pray. Want to pray for Roel Serino. I hope I got that name right. In the emergency room, he collapsed while getting ready for church. Blood pressure and sugar problems. So let's pray for that need this morning. Please pray for an unspoken prayer request for Michael Carter. The Lord knows all about that need. We're just committed unto the Lord. Have an unspoken prayer request this morning, something you'd like for this group to pray about. We just commit these things unto the Lord. We know that we're serving a God that's bigger than all of our problems, don't we? Could we stand together this morning? Brother Bill Blair, would you come this morning, pray over these requests? Let's invite the presence of our Lord into this service and ask him to have his divine will, all these requests. God bless you, buddy.
Before we pray, I just wanted to take a second to give a couple of thank yous. I really appreciate this guy. He's always the one telling everybody else, this one, this one, this one. Every time somebody's going to get a little rose, the old song, give me a rose, give me the flowers while I live, so as to pass, whatever that song is. He just never gets one, because he's always the one giving them out. And I just appreciate Brother Louis so much. He's not only talented, he's gifted, he's called, he's in his position, he does a great job. And I mean, I could go on forever, but there's one more that caught my attention. That's Brother Michael Bailey. Michael just fills in every gap and hole and does just about everything. So I just don't want us to forget those wonderful people. That's just about. Yeah, go ahead. That's a great idea. Bookends, brother. One at the back and one at the front. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in my hand is a list of prayer requests, many of them extremely serious, nothing to be taken lightly. And Lord, when we realize that if we had to do something about it, if we had to actually fix the problem, we'd be powerless. But the glorious thing is that it's all in your hands. The beauty of it is, Lord, that you are the one who is able to perform beyond whatever we could ever think or ask. You are the author of miracles. You are the creator of every great situation. Lord, you have made so much already for us and do so much for us every day, Lord, that it really is right in keeping with your great goodness just to ask you if you can look out a little more on the congregation and the needs that people have expressed and simply just reach down your hand like you did with blind Bartimaeus or like you did with the woman who touched your garment. Lord, we know that it's not too hard for you. And we know that many times it's just a matter of you wanting us to call, wanting us to believe, wanting us to test our faith. And then we always know your plan is in motion and that you will bring everything, if we'll trust, to the place that'll be honor and glory for you and to our benefit. I guess, Lord, using a street term, we could say it's just a stacked deck. And I don't mean to say that sacrilegiously, Lord, but everything is in place. Everything is already planned. There is no surprise. There's nothing that catches you off guard. And in us, that brings a huge confidence and trust, Lord, this morning. And I just want to thank you. I want to take time to give you the glory and the honor and to praise your name and just to lift up your name into heaven and thank you for taking all the time to do all that you do for us, Lord. Honestly, you don't have to. Nobody's making you. There's no bigger God forcing you to do what you do for us, but you just love us that much. And we want to love you back, Lord. Thank you for all you do in Jesus' name. Amen.
Brother Bill, God bless you. Praise the Lord. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting with us in this service today, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have all of you here in the service. All those that are streaming the service today, may God bless all of our brothers and sisters from around the world that stream in these services. The band that's getting ready to, Brother Kenneth, they'll come onto the platform. We're going to try to work a couple of songs in for you this morning. I don't know if it's Brother Caleb Adkins. Is he here today? He's supposed to have a song, but I don't see him. So Brother Fred Green, if you'll come onto the platform and after our brothers play for us this morning, we'll have a song. But isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? Amen. Isn't it good to be the house of the Lord? Amen. Amen. Aren't you glad that God can dwell in our hearts? Give us peace in the times of trouble. I'll stand for Jesus and let this old world go by. Is that your desire this morning? Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's sing that this morning if you will. I'll stand for Jesus. I'll stand for Jesus. Let the world go by. I'll claim His promise. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, I believe the band's ready to play, but wait just a minute. We're going to sing one more song. I just wanted you to up here and be ready. That's the main thing. Let's just sing. We sung a song here last night, and it just seemed to fit Brother Donnie's message last night. Who's on the Lord's side among you this morning? Are you? We have 14 people that said they was on the Lord's side. I hope the rest of us is not taking the core away. Are you on the side of the Lord? Give Him a hand clap of praise again this morning. Who is on the Lord's side among you? As they play for us this morning, give them a nice hand as you're seated today.
How can two walk together unless they can we live forever and both see differently? Well, tell me, who should I walk with and who should walk with me? Who must I agree with and who must agree with me? I must agree with the one who opened up the book and let me look inside. I must agree with the one who shed his blood and gave back his life. Maybe you and me don't see things eye to eye, but we have life eternal if our hearts agree with Christ. He is the Word, and the Word is eternal life. To receive His Word is to receive His life. I know that He agrees with me when I receive His Word. And to walk together in one one accord. I must agree with the one who opened up the book and let me look inside. I must agree with the one who shed his blood and gave back his life. Maybe you and me don't see things eye to eye, but we have life eternal if our hearts agree with Christ. Inside. I must agree with the one who shed his blood and gave back his life. Maybe you and me don't see things eye to eye, but we have life eternal if our hearts agree with Christ.
Sing or not.
I traveled down a lonely road, and no one seemed to care. The burden on my weary back had bowed me to despair. I oft complained to Jesus how folks were treating me. And then I heard him say, so tenderly, my feet were all so weary upon the Calvary road. The cross became so heavy, I fell beneath the load. Be faithful, weary pilgrim, the morning I can see. Just lift your cross and follow close to me. I worked so hard for Jesus, I used to boast and say. Oh, I've sacrificed a lot of things just to walk this narrow way. I gave up fame and fortune, I'm worth a lot to thee. These are the words I heard him say to me. I left the throne in glory and counted it but loss. My hands were nailed in anger upon a cruel cross. Be faithful, weary pilgrim, the morning I can see. Just lift your cross and follow close to me. Oh Jesus, if I die upon my mission field someday, it would be no more than love demands, no less could I repay. No greater love hath a mortal man than for a friend to die. These are the words I heard him speak to me. If just a cup of water I place within your hand, then just a cup of water is all that I'll demand. But if by death to living they can thy glory see, I'll take my cross and follow close to thee. Sing the chorus with me. If just a cup of water I place within your hand, then just a cup of water is all that I'll demand. But if by death to living they can thy glory see, I'll take my cross and follow close to thee. Sing it one more time. If just
the view from the mountains, there's a story to be told. In the crashing of the ocean, there's a power that no man can ever hold. All the stars in the heavens decorate His handiwork, and like a mighty choir, we've come to celebrate Your word. Don't let me miss the glory. Don't let bless the praise. All creation is singing to the honor of your name. Don't let me miss the wonder. The glory in the cry of a baby, in the laughter of love, in a brand new morning's mercy, all your memory of my sins have been erased. Don't let me miss the glory. Your praise, all creation is singing to the honor of your name. Don't let me miss the wonder, don't let me miss the grand design, the light. The lightning and the thunder open up my eyes. Don't let me miss the glory.
Let's turn to Numbers chapter 16 today. Numbers chapter 16, verse 1. I'm just happy to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Numbers chapter 16, verse 1. Now Korah, the son of Azar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan, and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleus, sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. I know I'm different, okay? I can't imagine anybody in their right mind doing such a thing. If you can, I'll pray for you because you're a potential one of these. How could anybody do such a thing against such a vindicated man? Gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said unto them, you take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them. Well, I know a few of them that wouldn't. They're doing the talking right now. And the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. What a great position to be. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, As we approach you again today, Lord, by the means of prayer, we're so thankful, Lord Jesus, for your grace to each of our lives. We are thankful, Heavenly Father, that you've allowed these things to be written in the pages of the Bible. It's stories that doesn't make us very happy. It's stories that does not uplift us in one sense, yet in another sense, it gives us such great warning and such great teaching, lest we would become like some of these characters. We know in the timeline under the law of contrast, it takes both negative and positive under the law of contrast to make things work. And we know in the book of Genesis, it starts out with negative and positive. Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, on and on and on through the scriptures. I pray, Father, that we, as long as we're under this law of contrast, that we would be benefited when we hear the negative referred to in the sense of people's disobedience and people falling from the truth. May we learn by that. May we desire that we would never want to be that way ourselves. Speak to us today from your word, I pray, Father, in Jesus' name. And the saints said,
Amen.
God bless you. So appreciate each of you today. You can be seated. I'd like to speak to you again today on will worship that brings death. Will worship that brings death. As we started out last night, anytime you find a complaining or a rebellion among God's people, there's usually a stated reason or a stated cause and a hidden reason or a hidden cause. The agenda most of the time will never actually be facilitated upon that which is hidden. Only the intimate circle, the close leaders, will ever know the hidden cause, the real motive of trying to bring this thing to pass. What is said in general terms to the public will always be that which you want them to hear and that which you want them to believe and that which you hope they will be able to perceive that is your real motive. So you have a motive here and then you have one here. So the stated reason will be the one that will be given to those that are your potential followers. Then the hidden reason may go for many months or for years, who knows how long it can be, before the hidden part actually becomes manifest. Now here with this, we don't know exactly how long it was that this had been going on. The tribes that had been gathered together now and they'd seen the supernatural of God. There was always complaints from the time that they first left the land of Egypt. And as trials came, now they're entered into the church in the wilderness state to where that God is still among them and God is doing things among them. But it's a different state of the journey. It's the state of the journey when there's not as many Nebos happening. There's not as many things maybe that they desire to see. And now it's the trying time of their faith to see if they are worthy to go into the land. And many of them were proof, of course, that they were not. Now, Korah, he doesn't mention his own name. He doesn't mention his own agenda. Well, I want to be this and I want to be that. You're treating me unfair. You're treating my family unfair. He never says that at all. But he projects it in the sense, it's the people. You're not doing the people right. The people, the congregation, you're doing this over the people and the people. He's not a bit more concerned about the people than this pulpit was. But yet that's what the people want to hear. Korah would have made a good senator or congressman or my, you don't know, he might have made it for president. They tell the people, politicians tell the people what they want to hear, but they have their own agenda and what they're going to do once they get in. And you realize that the most important place in any of our lives as children of God, as Christians, is to find what God wants us to be. But it's very hard sometimes because we think that we should be allocated this and this and this, and maybe God's divine allocation for our life might not be no more than this. But we look at ourselves as being so gifted and so talented that I'm just not reaching my full potential. But if you're reaching what God wanted you to be, that is your full potential. That is the blessed potential. Now, there's always a potential that'll be outside of the will of God for your life. There is for my life. There is for every one of us that we could be able to do more and oh my, do this and that. But is that God's will? Now, the thing that we must keep in our mind is that we don't do less than what God wanted. We don't do more than what God wanted. We simply do what God wanted. wants us to be. And it's very difficult for us in this age, especially because we have so much help self stuff. You know, hypnosis and nutrition, be more than you are, be more. All that's well and good, and it has its place until it goes to counteracting with what God wants you to be spiritually. And then if you're not careful, all the self-helps that you get, it'll promote your spiritual walk just like it is you making money. So then you'll say, well, I've been this and this and this for God. I can be more. And not going to God and saying, but God, is that what you want? Now, some folks, I believe with all of my heart, God have ordained them to be maybe a mediocre type of wealthy people or maybe even a poor type of people, but they find they have potential. So they get into business and they get involved in doing this and that and the other. And then they go to going beyond what God actually allocated for them. The more rich, they got more things. And then the next thing you know, they start missing church. And then they don't do this no more. And then they start having to keep their business going afloat. They got to, you know, bend the rules a little bit here. They can't be honest there and they can't be honest there. Oh, but boy, they're so blessed. Really? You call that a blessing line? You call that the blessing, not being honest before the people of God, before God? I call that a devil myself. Amen. If I've got to be so-called blessed and be dishonest, I'd rather pick up pop cans on the side of the road. Amen. I'd rather drink branch water and eat soda crackers than eat chicken three times a day and be a liar and go to hell. Amen. Right. That's exactly right. But you see what people get in their mind, and then they grow beyond what God wanted them to be, and they're never quite the same, because in their mind, they always wanted to be more. I want to be exactly what God wants me to be, nothing more, nothing less. Oh, you say your potential is nothing. I don't know. I think I've got a pretty good potential just walking down streets of gold. I'm not sure how much more you could ask for. But Brother Donnie, if you change your thinking about, change my thinking about what? About my flesh? You're going to say, you're going to tell me how good my flesh is? I'm going to tell you it's rotten. You're going to tell me how good yours is? I'm going to tell you it's a product between Satan and Eve. You can't trust it. It lies to you. It's no good. It'll deceive you if you listen to it. That's my potential. But in the inside of me now that's a different story. Now watch, then the important thing would be for each of us, men, women, boys, and girls, to be able to find what God wants us to be and remain in that status in the realm of faithfulness. Whether you're rich or poor, really, what difference does that make in the first place? We know that there'll be very few rich people that will ever make it. Jesus himself said, how hard shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? Surely we're not going to argue with that statement. So we know it's a proven fact that many people do not know how to handle money. They do not know how to handle position and status. Many of us were made to be regular, normal kind of people. Now, if you weren't made to be normal and regular, well, God bless you and your uppity-up-dyke sort of stuff that you're supposed to be. I'm glad God didn't make me an up-dyke. God made me a lower dyke or no dyke, wherever my dyke is. I'm just glad God made me somebody that don't really want to be somebody. Now, I am a somebody that's in the body, but I don't want to be nobody other than that's in the body, if that makes sense to somebody. I have no ego, I have no pride, nothing I want to accomplish other than living for the Lord Jesus and having eternal life and getting as many of you as I can to go that way. That's a pretty good goal, I think. But you realize people like Korah, Dathan, Abiram initially on, and these other men, they're always looking at the more potential that they have, and it's never being fully used in the capacity of what God, they think, has called them to be. And they're always troublemakers. They'll always cause these kind of things. Notice, Brother Man tells us in Paradox, you notice, just before they entered the promised land, the differences that had rose up among them, one of the great things was Korah. Now notice where they are. Just before they enter the promised land. So this Korah move comes on the scene right before the time of the Exodus going into the promised land. Now watch this. One of the great things, Korah, he didn't want this one man leadership. Dathan and how they come up before Moses and tried to tell them the message had to mean this and put a different interpretation to it. They had their own ideas of what it was, and they everyone perished. Now listen, friend, this is not to where you just make a simple mistake and you go back and straighten it out. This is very serious stuff. When they question one man leadership, now remember, one man leadership was not Moses doing everything that was in the body. Remember that God, under the direction of the leadership of God, he chose elders to do this and that. Levites were to teach the word. Priests were to do this. But one man leadership is one man receiving the message for that day. And then others going out from underneath the auspices of that leadership in their capacity and doing what God's ordained them to do.
It's the same in a church. And we know they got one pastor, basically, but it doesn't mean the pastor's supposed to do all the praying, all the singing, all the preaching. Every one of you have got something you can do. But the challenge will be finding what God wants you to do instead of what you want to do. Praise the Lord. Now, notice this. Every one of them perished. And because of their unbelief, they wasn't questioning Moses so much. They wasn't questioning Aaron. They was actually questioning God. For it was God who placed them in this position. Now, notice this in Pergamene Church Age. Now, let us take a scriptural warning here. Was it not in the days of Moses whom God had vindicated that Korah rose up and withstood that mighty prophet? He disputed with Moses and claimed that he had as much from God to lead the people as the others had shared in the divine revelation, as well as Moses. He denied the authority of Moses. Remember, a Korah move will deny the authority of a vindicated prophet of God, and they will say they have just as much authority to lead people, to teach, to do this and that and the other, as a prophet does. You know, right there, you're listening to Brother Korah. And I say only brother by association, not brother by birth. He denied the authority of Moses. Now the people back there, after they heard the true word and were well acquainted with the fact that a true prophet was vindicated of God, I say those people fell for Korah and his gainsayings. Korah was not a scriptural prophet, but the people in great numbers with their leaders went for him. Now we're talking about the children of Israel, right? We're not talking about Philistines, Amorites, Hittites, Jebusites. We're talking about the children of Israel that were called out of the land of Egypt by the hand of God, by miracles, supernatural, and yet the countless of numbers of these people and their leaders went for this man. He had no vindication. He had no supernatural. He had no gift to preach. But he was a politician. He knew how to talk. And as I said last night, you imagine when he first set up his website, he wasn't sure how many people would click on it, but after the first week, he got 250 clicks from princes. Now, princes and renowned men and important men, they have their position. We thank God for them as long as they stay in their position. But if they're not careful, they will take their position, and not to repeat myself, but again last night, that those famous men, they get their reputation from being around gifted men. Not that they themselves are famous within themselves. So you strip all the famous people from around the message that aren't around gifted people and see how many you've got. Count them on one hand. But those, many of them that go to churches and they're identified, oh, you go to Happy Valley, you go to Cloverdale, you go to Evening Light Tower. Yeah, you're the singer that goes here and goes there. But where do they get their fame? By being identified under a ministry. Then if they're not careful, they will take that fame, which was gained to them being identified by a gifted man, they'll pull off over to one side, and then they start their own agenda. Well, praise the Lord. Now watch, the people in great numbers with their leaders went for them. You imagine, they felt like they had a real move of God because they were growing daily. They were growing daily, and hundreds of people were now following this move, and they felt like, praise God, we're going to turn this upside down. This dictator Moses, we're sick of it. It's a family thing. None of us was there whenever he said God told him this and God told him that. You know what, friends? God done it that way on purpose. God could have told Moses everything he told him in front of 10,000 witnesses if he would have wanted to, but God said, I don't owe you an explanation. I don't have to do things the way you want me to do it. I'll do it my way, and you take it or leave it. That's up to you. So basically, we have to take Moses' word for it. Now I'm going to ask you before we go any farther. If you were living in the days of Korah, whose side would you be on? How would you know Moses was a prophet? How would you identify that Korah was a false one? Something to think about, ain't it? Every one of us sitting here today, whatever our outcome will be after following this message, our outcome would have been the same in number 16. because you wouldn't have changed. Only travel in time would not have changed you. Now watch. So we have a scriptural warning of something that's supposed to happen in the last days. The people in great numbers with their leaders went for him. How like the evangelists today with their golden calf schemes like Korah. They look good to the people as Korah looked good then. They have blood on their foreheads, oil in their hands, balls of fire on the platform. They allow women preachers, let women cut their hair, wear slacks and shorts, and bypass the word of God for their own creeds and dogmas. Remember, a sign of a Korah move is leading the women into so-called liberty. To where they can cut their hair, dress like the world, start wearing makeup. Korah is your pastor. Praise the Lord. It's always a sign of Korah because Korah wants to lead them back to Egypt, and Egypt is the world. So Korah's move will lead those who follow it into worldliness. Oh my. I like this part right here though. They bypass the word of God for their own creeds and dogmas. That shows what kind of seed is in them. But here he's talking about me now. But not all the people turned on Moses and left the word of God. No, the elect stayed with him. The same is happening again today. Oh, glory. The same is happening again today. Many are leaving the word, but some. Hello, brother and sister, some. Hello, brother and sister, some. But some. Amen. Some are staying with it. But remember the parable of the wheat and tares. The tares have to be bundled for burning. Their apostate churches are getting bound closer and closer together, ready for the fires of God's judgment. But the wheat is going to be gathered to the master. Now look at verse 6. This do. Take censers, Korah, and all his company. You aspire to be priest. Now remember, Korah was a Kohathite, called to pack the furniture of the tabernacle. Move the ark. Move the menorah. Move the skins, all that sort of thing. But that wasn't what he wanted. He wanted to be a priest. High priest. Now watch what Moses tells them. This ought to have scared them to death. They should have run to the altar and repented right then. Now listen, he tells them, this is what I want you to do. I want all of you princes who have challenged Aaron, each one of you take a censer. They should have known right there, death laid in front of them. If they believe the word, they would have known the word forbid them to take a censer. Now notice they're not going to take a lamb. They are not going to take a turtle dove or a pigeon. They're going to do the ultimate of the office of the high priest. Remember, the sacrifice was slain on the outside. The shewbread, the table of shewbread, the bread of his face, the bread of his presence is in the second realm. But what went in behind the Holy of Holies? What was done in behind there? They did not kill an animal behind there. That was not the ultimate of the sacrifice. That was done on the outside. The ultimate of the Holy of Holies was this man walking in there in this intimate fellowship of God, offering what? Not a lamb, not a turtle dove, not a pigeon, but incense. So Moses is telling them, if you aspire to be the high priesthood, then let God identify that he accepts you in the office of the high priest. So 250 of you, I want you to get some censer together, and tomorrow the Lord God will prove who is his. Now notice verse 7. And put fire therein. And put incense. Walking in behind the veil now. This is left only for the high priest. And these men are so foolish. They are so caught up in their own agenda. They're going to do it. They are actually, let's get, they are going to do it. They are going to act like their priest. Lord Jesus, put fire therein and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord doth choose, he shall be holy. Amen. You take too much on you, you sons of Levi. Now notice what they're wanting. They're wanting to be in the ministry. They're not just debating, oh, I want to be the prophet, I want to be the prophet. That's not what these guys want. They want to be preachers. They want to handle the word. We got a Facebook page. Bless God. We'll put doctrines on there. We'll do. Oh my. And Moses said unto Korah, here I pray you, ye sons of Levi. Seemeth it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself. Don't you know? You are honored by God. You are privileged by God. You've been given an opportunity that the rest of your brothers don't have. But that's not good enough for you, is it? That's not good enough for you to be called out. You want to be a preacher. You want to take the handle of the word and try to handle doctrines. You want to handle sacrifice. You want to be a preacher. To bring you near to himself to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord. To stand before the congregation to minister to them. God's called you to be ministers. And it seems like such a small thing to you. It's never enough, is it? You always want more. You always want more. It seems like a small thing. Look, Levites, God has given you such an honor. None of the rest of your brothers have that. And you imagine after this little sermon that morning, they all went back to their tents and they all sit down and said, you notice what he was doing? He was trying to use psychology on us. He was trying to tell us how blessed we were and he was trying to work on our minds. He's trying to quell this rebellion and make us think we're so blessed so we don't get his position. It ain't working with me. It ain't working with me. You imagine old Corey going there just pacing up and down through the tent. I'll tell you one thing. I get so sick of this stuff. I get so sick of this one man message stuff. I wonder where his boys were. Wonder where Korah's sons were when daddy was ranting and raving and marching up. And I'll show you. I'll tell you why I'm getting sick. And Korah's sons said, oh God. Oh God. Glory to God. Can you imagine David in his days, when David in Psalms 82 and Psalms 68 and different places in the Psalms, that David addressed Psalms and he addressed them to the sons of Korah. Here they were hundreds and hundreds of years after the death of their father. But they didn't get in this false doctrine. They didn't leave the message of Moses. Can you imagine how difficult it was living at home if they were at home? Or if they were married and he'd go over and knock on, boys, you've got to get women out. Are you on my side or are you on his side? It's time for you to take your stand. Daddy, we love you, but we're standing with the truth of this hour. We love you, Daddy, and we respect you, but we believe you're off the word. Notice in verse 10. And he hath brought thee near to him, and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee. And seek ye the priesthood also. Did you see what they really want? They want the office of preachers. For which cause both thou and all thy company are gathered together against the Lord. Uh-oh. What is Aaron that you murmur against him? What's Aaron done to you? Moses went to call Dathan and Abiram. Now remember, Dathan and Abiram were of the tribe of Reuben. Total different complaint than Korah. The sons of Eliab, which said, we will not come. You'll regret it. Now look how disrespectful they are. If they differ with Moses, that's one thing. If they didn't understand what was going on, that's one thing. But to show their disrespect. They would not even come up. Moses said, come on up, let's talk. We ain't coming. Leave us alone. Remember, friend, arrogance is not of God. Arrogance is of the devil. Whether a preacher has it, or a singer, or you, or me, or whoever it is. Notice in verse 13, now watch, they're going to accuse him too. It is a small thing. Is it a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of the land that floweth with milk and honey? Now, wait a minute. He brought them up out of the land. This is Egypt, right? Can't you see how bad people get when in their mind they start pulling away from truth? They go to warping things and saying things and saying things that don't even make any sense. Foolish lies. Oh my. You have deprived us of good things. You've robbed us. You've took from us. You brought us up out of the land that flows of milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness. So now he's a murderer. He's keeping them from good things and he's a murderer. Let's look in the book of Exodus and let's just remember here and see what the book of Exodus says about the land of Egypt. Exodus chapter 1 verse 10. Come on, let us deal wisely with them. The Egyptians speaking to the children of Israel. Lest they multiply and it come to pass that when there falleth any war, they join also with our enemies and fight against us. And so get them up out of the land. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters, not honey deliverers. They didn't send milkmen over them to keep milk running out their ears, but taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramses. This sounds like a land flowing with milk and honey to you. Sounds like a land flowing with sweat and blood to me. And the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. There's a spiritual principle there for you as a child of God too. The more the devil afflicts you, the more you grow. And the more you grow, the more he afflicts you. And the more he afflicts you, the more you grow. And the more you grow, you see the rest of the equation. One of these days you're going to get too big for your britches, so to speak. You're going to outgrow your body and you're going to grow into a theophany. Hallelujah. And the devil will keep right on, right on, right on till you grow out of this world. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor, which is harshness, severity, and cruelty. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage. In mortar and in brick and all manner of service in the field. And their service when they made them serve was with rigor. Are these people insane? That now their memories of Egypt is milk and honey. How can folks pulling away from this word think about their life, what it was before they come to it, going to a Baptist church, a Methodist church, whatever it was, bound in denominations, bound in sin, bound in adultery, smoking dope, lives filled with all kinds of stuff, and they remember that as being milk and honey? And they want to accuse us of trying to kill them. We're trying to set them free and keep them free. My. Josephus says they ordered to part the river Nile into many canals, to build walls about cities, to raise up mounds, lest the water overflowing the banks should stagnate, to build pyramids, obliging them to learn various arts, injure themselves to labor. So Philo, the Jew, says some worked in clay, forming it to brick, others in carrying straw. Some were appointed to build private houses, others the walls of city, to cut ditches and canals and rivers, and obliged day and night to carry burdens, so that they had no rest, Lord have mercy, nor were they suffered to refresh themselves with sleep. If that don't describe a life of sin, I'll tell you one thing. How in the world then could they now say, you brought us out of a land flowing with milk and honey? Lord, children, may God keep us by his grace. Philo tells us that they were made so to carry burdens above their strengths, to work night and day. They were forced to be workers and servers, that they were employed in brick making, digging and building. And if any of them dropped dead under their burdens, their friends were not permitted to bury them. If there was any milk and honey in the land of Egypt, these folks wouldn't have been drinking and eating it. But it's amazing when folks get under the spirit of rebellion. It's like it alters their perception of judgment. It alters their perception of truth. That they look at things and they don't look at them realistically. And you look and say, can't you see this? This or what? What are you talking about? I don't understand what you're saying. And they're looking right at it and you're looking right and say, oh God, oh God. That's why Moses fell on his face. He saw the consequence that's going to happen. And what? They don't think it's no great big deal about it. So a lamb flowing with milk and honey. Are you kidding me? Now they accuse him of wanting to kill them. You've deprived us. So what was you going to inherit down the land of Egypt? I'll give you a dirt pile. I'll give you a mattock. You get to make brick for the rest of your life and your son gets your spot when you die. Now they bring it on down a step and say, Moses, you are a murderer, a mass murderer. I believe you want to kill us all. Then they accuse his dignity. You want to make yourself a prince over us. To any real servant of God, that is one of the worst things he can hear. It's his God-given position to be looked upon by the carnal chorus and assume that he even wanted it in the first place. And to assume that it's for his own benefit and own, you know, to look and how that people themselves can see such a thing. You want to kill us. You want to make yourself a prince over us. This is the same man that made every excuse he could think of. This is the same man that I can't talk to Aaron, but I get nervous. He said, you be God, Aaron, and let Aaron be your prophet. You ain't making no excuses, Moses. You're going down. But God, I don't want to go, but you're going. But Lord, I get nervous. God said, well, go on anyway. And I'll be with you. I'll be with your mouth. I'll help you. I'll give you the words to say. Notice in Exodus 32:9, the very thing they're accusing him of. So false from what they saw displayed out of his life. That's one thing that makes me so sick of some of the accusations I hear folks making against this prophet and this message. It is so contrary to the man that we know God made. They're accusing Moses of wanting to kill them. But let's look at Exodus 32:9. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. Amen. Now if this man was a murderer, he would have simply stepped back and said, Lord, have at it. This will free me, and now it'll be called the nation of Moses. Not the nation of Israel. Kill them, Lord. If that's what the man wanted, all he had to do was back up. But Christ was in Moses. Even though they had tore him to pieces, they had broken his heart, they had put him through so many things, but Christ in Moses would not let God do that. Now notice verse 11, and Moses besought the Lord, his God, the Lord his God, and said, Lord, why doth thou wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out, to slay them in the mountains, to consume them? Wow. Well, you're talking about something when a preacher gets so anointed, he preaches a sermon to God. This is the same man that wanted him killed? What lies? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent. Lord, have mercy, children. Repent of this evil against thy people. Glory to God. Who was this? Christ. Christ, the very heart. It must have been, oh my, it must have been that great anointing of the very heart of God, the theophanic appearance of Christ that come down and so anointed Moses. You imagine if you got out from under this anointing, you just staggered and said, Lord, what did I say? Oh Lord, what was going on? It wasn't you, Moses. It was Christ. You imagine the very heart of God pleaded to God's wrath and the heart of God calmed down the justice of God. Don't you understand what Calvary was? The heart of God satisfied the justice of God. Praise the Lord. That's why we're saved today. Repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Thy servants to whom thou swearest. By thine own self, set us down to them. I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven. And all this land I've spoken will I give to your seed. And they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord repented. Somebody call 911. Hurry. Some of these folks like to swallow their teeth. You talking about a powerful preacher where you can preach a sermon of repentance and God comes to the altar. Woo! Lord! It was not that Moses was an eloquent man. It was not that Moses was a politician. He was anointed by Christ. Oh, preacher brothers, may we be anointed by Christ. When our people do wrong, when they go out of the way, may we be anointed by Christ, by the heart of God, not the justice of God. So Moses is just going and going, reminds God of his word. God says, I repent. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. Verse 31. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin after they made the molten calves and worshipped and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. Can you imagine how this man's heart must have felt when they accused him, Brother Dan, of being a murderer? You want to see us all killed. You don't like us, no way. You want to see, can you imagine instance after instance that flashed back in his mind? Why did I do this for you? Why did I do that for you? I asked God to take my own name out of the book if he wouldn't spare you all. Does that sound like a man who wants you dead? Does that sound like a man? I presumed, anointed by Christ's Spirit, I presumed to preach God a sermon of repentance. I ventured into his courts where no angel or no mortal man has ever been. It must have broke his heart. He said, is that what you think of me? Is that what you think I am? I'm a murderer. Notice, and the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Forcefully they accuse him of his deficiency. You don't have the ability to lead us on. You don't have the ability to bring to pass these promises that you said, God said was ours. You give us no land. You give us no farms. We have no vineyards. Nothing. We're in the wilderness. So you're incapable of committing that. Don't you understand? We need another leader. And over here is Dr. Cora. Let us have an election. And we'll try to vote him in. Fifthly, they accuse him of deception. You've deceived us. You've presented things that aren't true. Lord have mercy. Look in verse 14. Moreover, thou hast not brought us to a land that flows of milk and honey, or given us an inheritance of fields and vineyards. Would thou put out the eyes of these men? We know what you're wanting to do. You're wanting to put every one of us blind. We will not come up. We'll worship. It brings this. You see, these men, though they died many thousands of years ago, the spirit that they was under is certainly still alive today. Paul prophesied about it in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, and he says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And the word sound there is wholesome for the soul. Sound doctrine, wholesome doctrine for the soul. They will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. The word heap does not occur elsewhere in the New Testament. It means heap upon, to accumulate, to multiply. So it's like one is not enough. So they heap one with another, with another, with another. I don't want to be one on the heap. Do you, brothers? No, I'm not interested in being one up on the heap. So they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Look at the word teacher. One who is fitted to teach or thinks himself so. Okay, so they will not only just get men who can teach, but men who think they can teach. Just because you can put up a website don't mean you're a teacher. Just because somebody pack a How to Become a Policeman book, would that make them one in your eyes? If somebody gets a doctor book, some of y'all want to spare your kids about 47 years of college, why don't you just buy them some doctor books if they get the doctor book? They're a doctor, ain't they? That's the way folks look about the Bible. That's the way they look about the message. If you got the message, you're a preacher. If you got the Bible, you know how it all be fit together. But you've got to learn. You got to be gifted. You got to study. You got to be placed. Just because you got a doctor book don't mean you know how to operate. You ain't operating on me, buddy. You're going to open me up. I want somebody that's been there and done that a few times before yesterday. And now if I'm going to commit my soul to somebody's charge, I want to commit it to somebody that I can see God has committed something to them as well. I don't want to fly by night. I don't want somebody that's just all mouth and says this and says that and the other. I want a man that I see God works with that man. I want to see a man that God speaks through his lips and God heals through his hands. And God speaks to him in counsel and God gives him wisdom. I want to follow a man and commit my soul under the care of a man that God has committed something to. In all reality, Korah might have been a good furniture mover. But he wasn't a God-called leader. Now, if you had a table you need moved, he might come over to your house and help you move that table. Or if you had a pig you need to move or something like that, he might help you. But as far as leading you to the land of promise, he wasn't going to the land of promise. He's going back to Egypt. He wanted to strip the women, remember? Now what? So they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears after their own lusts. Now is the way that they'll heap them. They don't want a man of God that'll tell them the truth. But they'll be selective in who they listen to, the church they go to, the books that they read. And they'll be sure and get that which goes actually with their nature. Why? They're heaping onto themselves their lusts. Tell me how good I am. Tell me how sweet I am. Tell me how darling I am. Tell me how beautiful I am. Tell me how handsome I am. Tell me how good, how wonderful, how lovely, how pure. Why would I want to tell you all them lies? As you well know, I don't fit on the heap. I'm kind of glad I don't fit on that heap. Now notice what they'll do. They'll heap to themselves teachers having... The word rendered itching only occurs in this place in the New Testament. It means to rub, to scratch, and then to tickle. So, rub and then scratch and then tickle. That's the kind of preachers folks want in this day. They don't want a hide skinner. They don't want somebody to skin their hide. They want somebody that'll rub it, scratch it, and tickle it. And as long as he does it in that order, so whenever they leave, they don't feel conviction, they don't feel bad, they don't feel remorse. They want the last part of the service to be the tickling part. Okay. I just love him. Oh, he's such a tickling preacher. He'll burn in hell if he don't tell you the truth. Come on, children, this is serious. The Bible says this is what people would want in this day. They want a preacher that'll rub them and be able to scratch them. Not rough, though. Now, Pastor, I've got a little itch right there, but you come here and scratch it. Easy, easy. We got rid of the last guy that gave me a chafing on my cheek. So the pastor comes to church. He don't have swords and shields and all that sort of thing. He's got feather dusters. Children, God understands why you can't live right. The power of the devil's so strong in this day. And God's lost his power. He don't heal no more. This is why you can't live right. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it that you can't overcome. He's merciful. He understands why. He understands you ain't got the Holy Ghost. That's why you can't overcome. And that feather dusting preacher standing there telling you that ain't got it neither. If he had it, he seen Bob Heron fainted face, he'd scream out like John the Baptist. Amen. Brother Ben said people want a whispering pastor. Is everything going well? God bless you. I'm only going to preach about 7 or 8 minutes and then we'll all go eat lunch. And then we'll all go home and put on our shorts and we'll go out for a great big shindig. But the prophet said God sends thunderbolts. Amen. But you know what thunderbolts is a precursor for, don't you? The sound of latter rain. Amen. Thunderbolts and lightning tells that the bride's anointing of the latter rain. Hallelujah! The Mount Zion showdown, it's on its way. So to rub, to scratch, and then I love our pastor. I hope he lives forever. I wouldn't want nobody to ever come and take his place. He rubs me just right. Some of them I imagine do. Some of them I wouldn't want them in my house. I'd afraid they'd be rubbing me and my wife and everybody else the wrong way. Come on now, you know it's the truth. The image is derived from the desire which we have when there is an itching sensation to have it rubbed or scratched. We all have them, don't we? Where something gets, oh, you ever get in a spot where you ever have an MRI or something like that and they strap your hands down and you say, oh Lord, my nose. Oh. If it'll itch any time, it'll itch then. Oh my. I hope you didn't come today to get scratched. I hope you come today to hear the word of God. I hope you come today to hear your faults, your shortcomings. Brother Ben said if we come to church for any other reason other than to hear our faults and our shortcomings and our sins, we come for the wrong reason. Now you imagine Paul says that's what it'll be in the last days if they want teachers that'll do this sort of thing. And they shall turn away their ears. Now notice not the teachers will turn their ears, but the people themselves will turn their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Look at this word fable, a fiction, a fable, an invention, a falsehood. And what will happen to them, a sure sign of one who's been turned to this, is the judgment to be able to know right from wrong and separate truth from error. It departs them. You see, it is a righteous retribution of God when people come to this spot to where they no longer know what is right and wrong. Can't you see Dathan, Korah, Abiram? They're standing there accusing Moses of all these things, and no doubt they believe it. This is the way they have viewed this man of God. Numbers 16:15, and Moses was very wroth and said unto the Lord, respect not their offering. I have not taken one ass from them, neither have I hurt one of them. That's not enough now that they're defying him. But now they've built an altar. Respect not their offering. They're going ahead. We don't even need you. We'll do it on our own. Lord Jesus. Respect not their offering. Remember, friends, will worship is not accepted by God, no matter how sincere you are, if it's contrary to his word. Moses said unto Korah, be thou and thy company before the Lord, thou and they and Aaron tomorrow. Now Korah is still standing there. You and your company, which is congregation church. You believe we're wrong, you believe we're off the word. Then let God show who's his. Let the God who answers by fire, let him be God. Now God, in the days of Elijah, not only proved he was God, but he also proved Elijah was his prophet. Now each one of you tomorrow bring a censer, and we'll give you holy incense. Come before the presence of God. Notice in verse 17. And take every man his censer and put incense in them, and bring before the Lord every man his censer, 250 censers. Thou also, Aaron, each one of you his censer. And they took every man his censer and put fire in them and laid incense thereon and stood in the door. You're talking about bold. Amen. They are so deceived. They walk right into this. They are so defiant to the word of God. Amen. God help us, children. Can't you see when we want something so bad and we push and we push, God will give you what you want later. But it don't mean it's his will. Instead of God coming down and stopping and thundering, God says, fine. If that's what you want, go ahead. Your rebellion will lead to your destruction. Let me close. And they took every man his censer and put fire in them. And laid incense thereon and stood in the door of the tabernacle of the congregation with Moses and Aaron. See, here's the vindicated prophet, the vindicated proven called ministry, and these people which are not called to either walk right up beside him as if though we're standing right here with you because we're just as much called as you are. You're not intimidating us. We'll worship. That brings death. Let's stand together. Lord Jesus. How many good people, friends, have confused their desire to do something for God with what they think is God's will for them? They want to do this and they want to do that for God. And they're so convinced it's God. So they press beyond what God's qualified them and called them to do. They want it so bad. God said, okay, if that's what you want, go ahead. But I want to tell you right now, it's not my will. Serious. We want God's will, don't we? Don't we want God's will? Isn't that the most important thing in our lives? One thing I've tried to share with the minister brothers here, especially those brothers being young in the ministry, just getting started. Don't try to make yourself something. Don't try to make doors open. Don't try to go here and go there. Let God pace you. You see, when God gifts a man, the gift may progress faster than his character. And preachers have the potential. I have the ability as the pastor of this church to try to excel some of these ministers that are here. To call this man and that man. Hey, would you let Brother so-and-so come preach? Let so-and-so. And then I, as their pastor, could help their gift grow and their popularity. My, they'd go because I ask them to. But if their character isn't growing at the same time their name is growing, and they'll get out there and they'll get to thinking they're something. And then they look around, they got all these doors and they got this and that and the other, but have they got the character to match it? But if God grows a man with the open doors, with his character, all of it coming together, it'll grow and grow and be exactly what God wants it to be. I'm afraid we've been guilty of helping many a man fall, many a preacher, because we pushed him so fast and so hard instead of letting him grow and grow and grow. But that's the hard thing, isn't it? Because we're in a microwave day. Instant dryer, instant wash, instant potatoes, instant coffee, instant this, instant that. And we want instant sons and daughters. We get saved this morning. We want to be an adopted son by at least next Saturday night. Not make it till Sunday morning without it. But we expect, God says, no. I make Christians the same way I've always made them. The old-fashioned, slow way. Amen. To mold you and reshape you. And then he may look at you as Jeremiah, as he sent him down to the potter's wheel. Then the word of the Lord came into me saying, go down to the potter's house. So the potter's wheel, of course, at that day, as many of the ancient ones are today, was operated by the foot. Not mechanical or electric. But they would kick it by their foot. So you would go out and find the proper clay. You don't want 100% clay. You don't want 100% pure clay. You've got to have so much oxalate. You've got to have so much oxides. You've got to have so many other things. Or pure clay, when you put it in the kiln, will bust to pieces. So you got this large portion, 92-93%, sometimes that depends on the clay, of the clay, mixed in with all the rest of these flaws. But them flaws actually help it in its journey. So imagine Jeremiah as he's standing there and he watches the potter and he reaches over. Now the potter makes this clay himself. He goes out and digs and searches and finds the clay, digs around until he finds exactly the right content, takes a little sample home and works with it, puts it in the kiln. Yeah, this is what I want. So he goes and buys the field. Glory. And digs up this and takes it back to his house. Then he works it and works it. Got to have so much moisture, so much silica gel, so much this, so much that. Then he takes it up, puts it inside a pot, reaches down and get a big handful. And he's got a thought in his mind. Now for this handful of clay, I want a Gatorade bottle. So he dips his hands down in water. Starts kicking the wheel. He reaches over and gets some of that double handful of clay. And he sets it up on the wheel. The wheel is spinning. He's got the moisture, the sweet anointing, the balm of Gilead. His hands are dripping and running with it now. Because you can't use dry hands to shape a vessel. So he goes to making and shaping. Now remember, he don't have this image in front of him like this. But he's got it in his mind. Step by step, each little ring as he takes his fingers and he's kicking with his foot. Each little ring of the bowl as it comes around and he's kicking. And Jeremiah's standing there dumbfounded. And he's like, oh, how beautiful. Oh, my. And all of a sudden, the potter just reaches and grabs it. Just. And Jeremiah. God said, that's the way you are. In my hands. How many times have we felt like we were rapture ready? We were ready for this. Boy, I'll tell you one thing. God reaches over and gets us and just. Throws you over here in the tub. But don't worry. He'll be back. Then he reaches over for you again. And he pulls you out and you're all malleable. He's flexible. And this time, as he molds, it's like the image is so clear. This broken heart and this trial, and this person said this about you, and that one. You say, oh God, I don't want them things to bother me, but them things bothering you is actually what helps you to be who you are, Brother Jim. Thank God we can still be bothered when folks say things about us. Can you imagine how heartless we would be
If people could say something and call us names, I don't care. I don't want to be such a person. I want to be a person who can be touched. Even offended. Let down, disappointed. Because if I can't be touched, I can't touch. Friends, don't kick against him. Don't fight him. Don't push him. Don't. The great potter come down here and bought this whole field. You realize that Judas, when he betrayed the Lord Jesus and they took the money back and they said, it's not lawful for us to touch this money. It's the price of what it was bought for. There's no way we can take it. So they go out and buy what? The potter's field. To bury the poor folks in. Jesus bought this entire potter's field. The whole earth. He pulled me out of it in 1956. He's going to pull me out of it again. I don't know exactly the date yet. I'm just waiting for that to be announced. Amen. He pulled the future home, the mountain that the home is going to set on. He purchased the potter's field. Praise be to God that he might set his heavenly home down on top of it. And he purchased a place to take your body out of. To mold and shape you and mold you. Remember, the clay cannot say, would you please make me a museum piece? Because really, the type of clay I am, I wouldn't be fitted for a cup. A cup, a drinking cup to set in a poor man's house. Please, sir, please make me a vase. Make me where I can sit in the British Museum or the Metropolitan Museum of New York. Don't make me a teacup on John Doe's table. What are you going to tell him to make out of you? Pardon me while I tell him. Dear sir, I have so many faults. I have so much silica. I have so much oxalate. I have so many things about me. I'm not the type of person to be a museum piece. I'm not the type of person to sit in some great king's table. But if all you commit to my hand is a cup of water, if I'm just a little teacup that sits over on the side, but one of your saints one day come by and they find me and they're starving to death. And they just pick me up and reach down in and get a little drink of water. And it helps them through their next stage in life. I will feel like my life has been worth living. Is that the way you feel? I don't want to be the big, the greatest, the important. That's not me anyway. If I can just help somebody, Brother Terry. A long life's journey. I don't care if folks know my name. I don't care if folks think I'm a big preacher. What difference does that make to me? As long as my master, I've told this to you before and I'll close in this. The Lord told me many years ago, even before I came to the message, I'd read about people who'd done this and this and this for God, and I was reading my Bible one day. And I read about Joseph and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all those men that God shaped and formed and made. And I said, Lord, I know I'll never be a great person or an important person. But I want to be your person. If I can just be something you'll use for your glory. Believe what you will. He spoke to me and said this. The same hands that made Isaiah. The same hands that made Jeremiah made you. He didn't have to say anymore. I received the message. So what does it matter if I'm a vase this size or that size or that size? The same hands, so the same thoughts made you and me. Let's pray together. Precious friends, we don't want to be like David who will bring a new cart. We don't want to be like many other examples in the scripture that went their own way. Neither do we want to rebel against God's choice of word, leadership, and all that. Let's find our place and be what God's made us to be. I wonder if those present today, maybe those out on the internet streaming, you would like to just raise your hand as a sign of surrender, or maybe both of them if you wish, to the presence of God. Take me, Lord, I'm clay. Mold me, shape me. Help me that I can be surrendered. I want to be a witness. I want to be things for you. But I want to always make sure that what I want to be lines up with what you want me to be. If I'm called to be a furniture carrier in the house of God, help me to not take up a censer and think I can offer incense. If I'm called to be a singer that's used once a month, and that's what blesses the people, help me not to get angry if I'm not called every week, if my ability don't bless everybody every week. If I'm a preacher that preaches once a month, that's my capacity, that's my call. Help me to be happy and satisfied and not be jealous of the man who preaches 4 or 5 times a week. Just help me to be what you want me to be. Amen. Lord Jesus, I raise both of my hands. Father, how many times I went back to what you told me so many years ago. How many times it's encouraged me. When I found myself upon the wheel and all of a sudden a catastrophe struck my life. And at first I thought it was the devil. At first I thought it was real something the enemy was doing. But as I began to look closer, it was nail-scarred hands I saw that was tearing my life apart. It wasn't Satan at all. It was your loving, nail-scarred hands. And you tore my life apart and threw me over in your vat or your vessel of clay to wait for a while, for a season. It's your bidding. Lord, I pray for your children today. Help us that we'll not be like Korah, Lord. Help us we'll not be like Dathan, Abiram. Lord, I pray for those, this move that's against the message and against your prophet and all this. I pray for those, Lord, who can return. May they be, Lord, like On, as we read about. On, a descendant of Reuben, initially starting out in this revolt. But when Dathan and Abiram and Korah and them are killed, On is not killed. His name is not mentioned. He's been smitten by death. So there must have been repentance somewhere. Hallelujah. Korah's sons, the Bible tells us, did not die in the thing that happened to Korah. They loved their daddy, but they loved you more. Lord God, help us, I pray. Mama don't go, daddy don't go, brother don't go, sister don't go. We're going on, Lord God. Help us, Lord Jesus, to find our place. If all you want me to be is a furniture mover, Lord, in the house of God. David said it with such understanding. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. Lord, if I was a doormat and people wiped their feet on me, I'd rather be that than be the richest man in the world in the devil's kingdom. Help us, Lord Jesus. Help us to get this haughty idea out of our minds that we have to be the best and the utmost and the greatest. But we're not going at all. You owe me nothing, Lord. You're not obligated to do anything for me. If you never hear another prayer, I've got more to be thankful for than I can ever really praise you for. Just take me and use me and shape me. Make me what you want me to be, Lord. Mold me, Lord, over and over again. I'm reminded of Brother Branham saying, Lord, you have broken my heart over and over again. But I thank you for it. It's on those desert sands where your children are molded and shaped. When they become no longer Christians, they become into the image of the living God. Praise God. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Can we just raise our hands to Him now, friends? It's a sign of surrender. Your gifts, your talents, many of you are so gifted and you're talented in so many ways. But just make sure your gifts and your talents don't try to lead you beyond your capacity. It may be a strange phenomenon to you. But many gifted people Their gifts will always have the potential to lead them beyond their predestinated position. Paul had the ability to be much greater, much bigger than what he actually was. Brother Branham could have been so much more in the eyes of the world than what he was. The potential laid there. The potential laid in David and many, many others. The potential lays in you. But let's be what God wants us to be. Not so much what the world would say our potential. The potential laid in Eve to do what she did with the serpent. But God's will was that she be kept for her husband. So it'll always be there. It'll always be there. But let's just remain where he wants us to be. Oh my, if I can just feel them wet, warm hands dip down in the water of the anointing and take my life and mold me and shape me. Praise God. Sing it for us, Harry. Over and over. As he molds us and shapes us into his likeness. That's what we desire. Praise be to God. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Now let's just stand here in his presence and worship just a little bit before we go.
I came back to him.
Back to him.
The vessel unworthy. So scarred by sin. But he did not despair.
Oh, no.
He started
Jack Benton had a stroke on Friday. Some cholesterol, real high cholesterol content apparently in his body, had broke loose and a fatty substance had moved up into his brain. And they found him in the floor, to my understanding, on Friday. And we've been in touch with him. And he is doing better. When it first happened, he couldn't. His motor skills were greatly affected. But that's come back. He passed the swallowing test yesterday. And he is doing better. But at the present time, the family has asked that only ministers, if they would come and visit and pray for him and all of that. But they asked that others wouldn't come because he's just retired and still hasn't fully recuperated. The doctors are saying that within 3 months they think he will be able to recuperate with 80%. But the family said they believe God can do better than 80. Amen. So we certainly want to remember our brother. He'd been over to Poland, just got back from a meeting in Poland, come back through Florida and preached there, and then had come home, and this had happened to him. So I know that I appreciate your continued prayers. Also, Brother Jack Johnson's been having a real issue with his back, whole lot of pain, just tremendous amount of pain, and they're going to try to do something for him. I'd like for us to pray for both them brothers. Anybody have a request you want to make known, but just the lifting of your hand as we pray together? Let's just take these requests before the Lord now before we go. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we certainly concerned about these needs that are among us. Lord, this old veteran fought many, many battles through many hardships, Lord, Brother Benton. Lord, his lot in life has never been one to maybe take a lot of the great conventions around the message, and his lot in life has never been one to pastor a large church and all that sort of thing. But his lot, he's been able to accept it, recognize it. He goes here and back in the wilderness, back over there somewhere else, preach for 5 or 10 or 15 or 20. He ain't got an attitude against you or jealous against other preachers that maybe have a larger following or crowd to come and hear them preach, but has accepted what you've made him to be. What a great place that is to have, Lord. Lord Jesus, you see our brother returning from Poland, and Father God, this happening in his body. We know as long as we're in these old clay houses, they're subject to this sort of thing. We pray for him today, Lord. Dear God, may this thing, Lord Jesus, may it not leave him, Lord, where he cannot be able to move around and go for you, Lord God. Help him, I pray. His motor skills, these things, Lord, that still need to be touched. We're believing you, Father God. We thank you for what the doctors can do, and maybe either today or tomorrow, one moving to rehab and starting the rehab. But Lord Jesus, may there not just be rehab people in there, but may the angels of God be in there with our brother. Lord, we thank you for rehab. It's wonderful what they can do, but we're not depending on rehab alone. We're depending on you, for it's the Lord that heals us. Be with our brother, dear God. Heavenly Father, we want to pray for Brother Jack today too, Lord. You see, he's been suffering several weeks in his back with this nerve, Lord, and this disc that's got his nerve all bulged out. Dear God, I pray for our brother. I know he's suffered so severely, dear God. Had a rough night last night, Lord. Hardly able to sleep. Just really needs prayer today. Then, Lord, all over the building, there was hands that went up. Different needs in their bodies, maybe questions in their lives, in their home, their finances. You alone know what it was. May the Spirit of God, I pray, move among your people, Lord. We're happy in just being the congregation of the Lord. We don't desire no big ones among us, no great ones. There ain't but one big one among us anyway, and that's you. We're just so happy to be identified with the family of God. Go with your children now, Lord. We appreciate your word today. I know it's sober, Lord. It leaves us with that time of feeling in our heart, but may we ponder it. Grant it, Lord, that each of us can find our place and maintain it. We love you, Lord Jesus. Bless your children now, Father, in Jesus' name. And the saints said, amen. Amen. God bless you, children. I love you with all my heart. Lord willing, we'll see you again Wednesday night. I've got a hunting trip scheduled. I'm supposed to leave next Friday, but I'm still feeling this kidney stone, I suppose, is what it is here on my left side. And I just desire your prayers that the Lord would help me to get rid of this thing. I'm not sure if it's just hanging around or if it's too big for me to pass. I don't know exactly what it is, but I know that God can move for me. So I certainly desire. I know man's got all kinds of things that he can do, but I know if they come up with it, it must have been second choice. I know God can do it. So I just desire your prayers that the Lord will help me this week. You love one another?
Amen.
You love his word?
Amen.
Y'all going to be okay to make it out to your car? I mean, y'all need help to get out? So that's the thing with skinning preachers. We need wagons to haul ourselves back to the house. I don't know about you, friends. I want the truth.
Amen.
I want the truth. I don't want some preacher standing up here telling me a bunch of lies. Tell me the truth so I can get out of here. I'm getting ready to leave this world.
getting ready for the gates of pearls, keeping my record line, watching both day and night. I'm getting ready to leave this world. Oh, getting ready.
God bless you, saints. See you Wednesday night.
Oh, I'm getting ready for the gates of pearls. My record ride, watching for day and night. I'm getting ready to leave this world. Okay.